other dimensions. I will heal life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello everyone and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. It's just slightly late because we've just had some technical hitches, but I'm sure we're going to have a fantastic time nevertheless. And for those with us for the first time, I'd just like to explain that what makes this show so unique is that every week Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is a spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they are an educational group who are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show, we're going to be continuing our conversation about aging gracefully and beyond. So if you'd like to participate with a question, it's not a readings type of situation, but if you'd like to participate with our conversation, and call us with a question or comment. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present and growing bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m., we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication for those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, and that is how it should always be in the state of genuine deep trance, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my mind getting in the way of the contact of the spirit world. Bye for now.
Okay, thanks, Mick. And Gregory was asked before his physical death in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants to help us to understand the implications of what we are doing for our planet's sake, and to aid us onto a road of recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. The group consists of eminent scientists, physicists, and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life and think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. Okay, and of course, this includes everybody that comes after us. So this is stuff that affects absolutely everybody. And you can join Gregory and ourselves again on Sunday on SecondLife.com in the virtual world. I don't know if you've been to SecondLife.com at www.secondlife.com. And we are at the Mystic Academy in the Oracle Temple, where you can have another chance to interact with Gregory. I'd just like to say, I know we said that this show isn't about readings, personal readings, but we do offer readings. So if you would like to find out more about that on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, we do Akashic readings that are quite different from anything else you will ever have experienced. And it will be a deep trance reading by Gregory, one-to-one. And I suggest you go to our show anyway. Uh, show website so we can get on with the show. Right, I'm a bit flustered here because we almost didn't make it tonight. Are you here, Gregory?
Hello, my dear friend. Hello, with love and life, blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend. Hello.
You made it okay.
I did, all in pieces, but I'm here.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Had a quick thing with glue, friend.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Discombobulated on a large scale, you see.
Okay. Well, tonight we're going to be continuing our discussion about the aging process, really, and about how we seem to. This is a show suggestion from Ursa in Canada, and she sent in lots of good questions about the fact that really we just tend to be so focused on not aging, basically. Instead of wanting to age gracefully, we just fight it, don't we, all the time. And in the Western world, you know, it seems like the more money you have, the more you can spend on doing that.
And stave it off, yes.
And try to stave it off, yes.
Yes, as though it's something really ugly.
Yes, and yet there are obviously people who are in absolute poverty that have a beautiful life and just have no interest in that. It's funny, isn't it? Because we can make wrinkles on our face and worry lines just by worrying about looking old.
Yes,
you
absolutely
know what I mean?
So, yes.
But beat ourselves over the head, don't we, continuously?
Yes, yes. And in any case, that's just skin, after all. It's only because the elasticity, it's only because of the lanolin factor, because of many other aspects to life that create situations of distress, as no doubt Peter Lammas will tell you.
Oh, yes, Lammas Beauty products. Go to our website or the BBS radio website and just have a look at those Lammas Beauty products. Absolutely amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So, and you see, that really, it's just about a person's persona and what it is then that they actually think about themselves. If they're actually becoming extremely negative about themselves, purely and simply because they are walking along the pathway and what they were yesterday isn't what they were today, and what they acknowledge maybe tomorrow is something, then in a sense that it's like falling into the trough of a pig's wheel, really, in a sense that people actually find great difficulty in actually coping with this. And it really appears so strange, really, because in a sense, it means that every being is actually moving closer and closer to the spirit world. Not, of course, that we're all beings with wrinkly skin or anything like that, because that's just a memory. It's not something that you necessarily take with you unless you want to. So other beings, I understand that there may be some confusion over this, purely and simply because oftentimes it will be a medium, whatever, in the throes of communication between themselves and someone in the spirit world, in bringing about a description of a person in the spirit world, then it may well be that the person died at a ripe old age of 80-something or whatever, and the person is obviously had very wrinkly skin. So what does that mean? Does that mean then that people in the physical life normally naturally associate with the fact that, well, if then you had a wrinkly skin at the point of your passing, why have you still got it? Why is it still in existence? Why isn't it just made all better and a nice placid skin, something of great elasticity, which actually fits the body that you're supposed to have? But the point and the answer out of this is actually, in point of fact, that the remnant of thought and consciousness, which is reminded to the medium, brought to the medium, maybe in the way of a pictorial event or something like that, actually showing the image of the person who passed, merely simply is stated for the point of reference or remembering who that being is to some loved one still in the physical life, so that you will actually say, oh yes, that's Auntie Rose or Mother or whatever. You see? And that's quite ordinary and pure and really quite beautiful, because it means that they have managed to retain the memory of that energy and of the cell structure that they had when in physical life. It goes to prove exactly and simply how it is that cell memory continues to live on within the conscious state from physical life, and live on and be well in the spirit well.
Okay, well, I do have a few questions from Mercer about that. She says, I see some elderly people experiencing physical pain, loneliness, and fear as they face their inevitable decline and death. And despite their advanced years, they have, to this point, not understood or accepted the reality of their spirit and its eternal existence. What memories will they pass with?
Most interesting, if in fact they pass with their memory intact. What then? If their memory is not intact, if it's completely fractionated. Perhaps for some people, of course, they actually lose their memory way before they actually physically pass. So, in a sense, what you're really looking at is the issue of energy within cell structure. Is it that the cell structure merely records the passage of its passing and ability to contain memory, if indeed that be the case? Or is it in fact that the cell structure actually has only a localized memory, and what actually happens is that that is part of the situation that passes with spirit to the spirit, you see? So it may well be that actually, and if accurately recorded or taken up by the medium, shall we say, who's actually reading the person who passed, it will be that they should latch upon how that memory actually faded, as that will be a part of the condition of cell memory in itself, in its entirety. There they will see then that the person, oh yes, so I can see that this person lost their memory before they passed. You see? And that is how the evidence then is produced. So it is merely the fact that the cell memory and the conscious memory of that being is complete and fully intact into the now present spirit body. Actually, of course, what really happens is that cellular memory, and animated by the conscious state, is actually, in a sense, sewn in upon itself like a coat upon the spirit. And that's really what the consciousness is. It's the fact that the consciousness and its sum total of its journey in physical life has become worn by the spirit itself, the pure, beautiful spirit. So no matter how feisty that person would have become in their latter years, perhaps just before they passed, or whether they actually forgot who they were even, it may well be that the person's lapsed into a semi-sort of conscious memory, so that actually all they're thinking of is perhaps a time when they were younger. Yes? Mm-hmm. And how often have you heard of that, where perhaps the older person who was just about to pass actually recurs only memory of when they were younger, maybe even as a child, or something like that, and actually goes back to childhood memories. And those are as clear as a bell, and yet other memories are gone, lost, and forgotten. That is simply a matter of fact of how the organic physical state of structure is left, in a sense, unrepaired. But that actually what happens, and that only happens in physical linear time. The other matters of what actually happens in the spirit world is, in point of fact, that the spirit world takes upon itself the whole and entire memory. So it means to say that pure, beautiful spirit remembers everything, because it's there within the conscious state, including all of the timeline of when it was that memory disappeared and how it was that to others externally, this is the beautiful thing about memory, that not only is it your own personal persona, so shall we say then that if you are looking at yourself and you don't remember what you looked like as a wrinkly person as you began to get older, purely and simply because your memory was lost to you, or maybe even the thoughts and situations, aspirations that faced you at the point of when you were losing your memory, you actually just simply lost those as well. You wouldn't have any memory image of it. Then what? All of these situations become reanimated and illuminated upon the spirit once that consciousness has passed, because the spirit energy allows that reenactivity to be created.
Okay. So, actually, there's a few things I want to say there, but...
Yes.
Okay. But I'm going to continue with Ursa's question.
Oh, very well.
She says... What will the pain and suffering of their physical existence continue when they pass, or is it all immediately relieved?
Pain and suffering is something which will immediately be relieved, but that does not necessarily mean to say that is something which the being who has passed will actually let go of. It may well be that person actually wants to hang on to it. Maybe because they're hanging on to it because through fear of letting go. Letting go may well be then something that they have learnt through the distension of the energy of what they think is going to happen if they let go. You understand?
Absolutely. So the programming of their mind...
Yes.
It continues, basically, until presumably somebody in the spirit world, in the... you do this sort of thing.
Yes,
you
is able to communicate.
Is able to communicate and counsel with them, basically.
Yes,
so
teaches them that, look, it's all right. You can actually do this. You don't have to hang on to the fears that you had at the point of your passing and all of that.
Yeah.
Da-di-da. Because it's really not going to have any difference, not going to hold water upon your life now. Water doesn't exist.
So basically a fear of death is instilled in us from the moment we're born, isn't it? So
exactly.
In one way or another, we are sort of like running away from it.
In a sense, yes. I know that perhaps for some people, maybe it could be, for example, that their faith or religious understanding or belief system is something which actually kicks in and helps them to survive that fear or helps them to cope with it. I am... not suggesting one way or another that that is a good or a bad thing, because sometimes it may well be that actual fear that religion can create within a self may well be something which actually then co-defends the being themselves from maybe even waking up to their own reality. Not that they are dead and therefore nothing, lifeless, but actually that they are something. And that can present its own fear.
Okay, so these people, okay, we've gone to the spirit world, and you were saying that about, you know, you don't have to be a wrinkly person in the spirit world, even if you were when you passed. Okay, so is this the time then when you can actually present yourself as how you actually want, the age that you want to stay, without it being a problem with, how can I say, you're not judged, basically.
Absolutely, you are not judged, by yourself.
But do people actually walk around as wrinkly? Do they want to be seen like that?
Oh, some do, yes. Yes, actually, it may well be because that was at their happiest. Maybe they don't have such fears, you see. And that it's not really something that actually bothers with them. Oftentimes, it may well, in fact, be that spirits don't actually need to use the cellular memory and structure of consciousness in order to relive those experiences either. It may well be that they actually, really, are quite prepared to move on. And so just let go of it. And therefore, what they are, what they become, is the actual shining light of energy and beauty they were before they ever had a physical life.
See, and that's interesting.
That's a relief, you see.
You see, that brings us back to the question about how then people mourning here, I mean truly mourning, and not getting over their passing,
yes,
the loved ones, holding them back when actually you know, possibly holding them back.
Yes,
you know, after a certain period of time, that, well, actually, you know, I'm okay, but I can't relay this to you. I'm okay, and I'd really like to move on.
Yes.
Isn't it?
That
just sprung to my mind then.
Yes, oftentimes this will happen in fact. And, of course, I understand there are many people who, perhaps preying upon the psychology of the moment, will perhaps even cry foul to that and think that this also is a wrong path to locate in the conscious mind, that people should be dead and should play dead, and that it's completely ridiculous to think that there should be a continuation of life. Wouldn't that be so boring? Wouldn't that be so exhausting? But that's actually because people think that way because they're only thinking in terms of a linear time field, and they're only actually thinking in terms of their own expense, their own perhaps experiences, and the way that they have maybe observed life themselves. Perhaps they're bored with it, or perhaps it is that it's become such a trial of ignorance, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I was just looking at one of the questions from Mercer. She says, is it not sad that at a time in life when you're older, when one has all the freedom and time to pursue spiritual growth and development, that there is a tendency to spend this time in the woe-is-me state of mourning the loss of physical youth, for instance?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it's a shame, isn't it, that I know everything seems to come back to meditation, really.
Well, it does in a sense, yes, because really, in a sense, it really does lessen the fear. Part of the problem, you see, is oftentimes that people will instead actually just try to shrug off this inevitable and actually just pretend that it doesn't exist, which is all very well too. I have no judgment one way or another.
Well, no, but if we're talking about how we can help people to live a less fearful life, and let's face it, this is why you're here, really, because it's the biggest thing that is the biggest problem on the planet, basically, isn't it? I mean, if people knew about what happened beyond the physical life, you know, and the possibilities, then they would be more responsible for now, wouldn't they, surely?
Well, one would hope so. Yes, absolutely so.
Anyway, well, Ursa was saying that surely the real definition of purgatory is being afraid to die, but at the same time being afraid to live.
As well, yes. Oh, absolutely so, quite. And oftentimes it is that we see many people in this quandary state.
Yeah.
But it's really quite difficult, in fact, because we would have a person then who has actually, in a sense, particularly when they're really struggling with passing, and they're so fearful of letting go.
Absolutely. They're suffering greatly from the effects of ill health, but they're also terrified to embrace anything beyond that suffering because they either have not heard about it or don't believe it.
But, or you know, still just in fear, yes.
Is immortal, yes, absolutely. It just about covers everything.
Yes.
Absolutely everything.
And the whole point, you see, about meditation is, in a sense, it's not to prepare you with near-death experiences or anything like that, but actually, although that may well happen, of course, but really, it's in essence to show a being how they may just simply understand that there are other matters, other situations of energy which are present beyond that being's current thinking and way of conscious state. Because usually it will be that a person gains some spiritual insight through the conscious state. That's exactly what you're doing. In essence, in exactly the same way that you glory at a sunset or something like that, something really beautiful and magical within the imagery of the mind is not something that, for example, is beholden to someone who's blind. They've never seen a sunset, maybe. What then? How can they glory in those same colors if they've never seen color? Of course, to a blind person who has always been blind, never had the power of sight, their world will be just completely blank, non-existent in the forms of sight. So they will actually rest upon the energy and sensitivity of their skin, largest cell structure that they have, and the largest single organ that they have to create sensitivity and awareness of their own surroundings. This too then may be amplified, but what of those beings who were in a state of blindness, never had sight maybe? What are they going to think and remember? And what they will remember maybe is something which is a configuration of their consciousness. Because, of course, they won't actually have any cell memory of what they actually look like. They'll only know, perhaps, because of the touch of their skin or something like that, or what their skin actually felt like. They won't know that they're wrinkly, will have no understanding of it, nor regard for it. So perhaps it may well be that their understanding and intonation, indeed, in fact, the way that they even may meditate, if they in fact meditate at all. What happens to a person who meditates then, who's blind? What are they going to see? Nothing. Because they have no power of sight. There is no retinal evidence keyed in within the physical brainwave pattern. That means to say the conscious physical cell memory is not something which is elaborated upon the consciousness state. Therefore, that whole avenue will be missing. What then? How is that older person who is trying to relate to the conscious physical life and perhaps even relate to meditation managed to illuminate pathways of some guided meditation? There you are, you're walking along. They don't actually realize or understand what walking along anywhere is going to look like because there's no real perception or guaranteed understanding of that whole perception of what that just looks like. So therefore, the situation of what they're actually feeling and sensing is altered completely from someone who has a visual understanding of it, which adds to the experience of multisensitivity. Therefore, then, this means to that person's energy is going to be completely different. What of their cell structure then, if they never actually had the cell memory in the first place? That's like saying a child should surely never have the experience beyond their years up until the point of their passing. So that a child, shall we say, that passes at the year 7 would never have any experience of going beyond year 7. Therefore, their cell memory cannot possibly construct it. That's the same as saying a person who is blind will never see in the spirit world. Because, so say, you would then be relying upon the consciousness cell structure to actually envisage that work, to envisage that interplay in the physical life experience. Similarly, vis-a-vis someone who has no hearing. What then? Or someone who has no sensitivity of their skin. What then? Maybe they never had it. What are they going to create within their cell memory structure and their consciousness state using the physical brainwave patterns that enable them to create a consciousness state? Quite simply, what will happen is those parts are missing, are made up in eventuality. It's not something that is immediate, but something which is created by the manifestation of provision, which happens within the soul group. So it will be, dear friend, a person, shall we say, who's blind and deaf. They pass to the spirit world none the wiser. All of those aspects of conscious state are missing. What happens to that person then is that the consciousness remains intact of what they have accrued during their physical life experience. And then simply what happens is the consciousness, the superconsciousness of the spirit, that is the cast of spirit which was intact before the being had a physical life, and that continues to be intact because it's part of that which is God, means to say it's in purity. Because it is in purity means it actually doesn't miss anything of the senses, the five senses of the physical state, because they are enshrined within the spirit locality in any event. It may well be, however, that because of this person's actual conscious physical state and their reluctance maybe to accept something else to do with their spirit, that they still belligerently carry on being blind and deaf. You see?
Wow.
In spite of their spirit. And that it may well be that it takes interactivity from others of their ancestral family group to perhaps say to them, well, this is how sight is, or would have been in the physical reality had you had it, had you shared that part of your pathway. It may be through the avenues of love that that's something that's brought about, or maybe instead of it coming from the ancestral family memory of self-structure, which is then, in a sense, rejoined for that spirit and for that consciousness makeup, that actually what happens is that it's through the soul group and the soul group memory of conscious physical state and what the five senses of dimensional physical state thinking and linear time field actually feels like. You see? Because otherwise, being a being in the spirit world and you never actually have a physical life, how would you have experience of a linear time field? If you never went into the linear time field, if you only remained in quantum physical terms as respect of multi-layering or multi-dimensional thinking, you are not necessarily going to ever experience linear time field sway. And what that actual feeling means to have had a physical lifetime experience in a linear time field travel. Yes? So you don't feel year upon year or have any experience of it. That's the same as someone who actually doesn't have any sound or doesn't have any sight in their physical life. You see? So oftentimes it may well be that those pure, beautiful spirits actually have to borrow the consciousness state setting from somebody else, or maybe even copy it to their own field of existence.
Try it.
To actually try it out and feel what that feels like. Mm. And in exactly the same way, that is exactly what a being does in the spirit world, pure spirit being, who actually maybe wants to try out being a horse, or try out being a cat or a dog or a mouse or a grasshopper or something like that.
Okay.
Borrowing the consciousness state.
Yeah. But you say about before you have a physical life that you can, like, well, you said you don't have to have a physical life anyway.
That's
because
true.
Because in the spirit world, you can do everything, you know, laws of learning and all of that anyway. So,
yes.
So presumably that is something that these people that don't have sight, hearing and that sort of thing can go to the halls of learning when they, you know, get to a certain position, shall we say, awakening and knowledge and knowing from the growth from their loved ones and the mentors like you in the spirit world, to just continue and experience the physical life from books, because you said books are animated and visual.
Absolutely.
And tactile and all of the rest of it.
Yes,
all
and as a pure spirit energy, you can actually immerse yourself in
it. Yes, so they can enjoy the physical world through that situation.
If they want to.
Becoming part of that picture, as it were.
Yes, as you will have done before you ever had a physical life. Mm. You will have done it countless times. Partly, this may well be part of the structure of memory that you may have even as a physical being. You actually remember these journeys almost as though they were your own physical life experiences. You see? And that's actually the reanimation situation that you experience, purely and simply because of the law of one and one. It means to say your core energy doesn't understand, because you're coming from a linear time field. You may not actually understand or quantize the quantum state of structure of multiple time. So it means to say, quite simply, what happens is, because you're coming from point A and not actually looking at the whole magnanimous state of it, you are only coming from one point of obstruction, in fact, because you raise barriers to everything else, because you're living in a linear time field. That simply means that what you observe as the structure of thought and consciousness from your spirit may well be, oh yes, I've had a previous life. There it is, all mapped out. And there it is, you remember everything about it. Perhaps even as a cat, dog, grasshopper, or something else. Purely and simply, all that you are doing is remembering the registry you created within as being as pure spirit being. And enjoying those situations of life as experience to try to feel and understand what that actually felt like as a part of your education and continual learning processes as a pure, beautiful spirit.
Yes, or being a...
That you borrowed.
Or a guide or a helper or something.
Absolutely
to somebody.
So. And also yeah. All of those amassed experiences, yes. And it's just purely and simply because you're stuck in a linear time field that you see it as your life. Because you don't actually relate to anything differently.
So, okay, let's go back to these questions. Ursa says, I hope the mindset and attitude toward aging and death will be different for current and future generations in the West, as I see more and more embracing the, of true spiritual teaching, right? There are a whole lot of things that would have to change in our culture, our social and community structures, and in the mindset of our people themselves, young and old, to change the way we deal with aging in the Western world. Where do we even start to turn that around?
Yes, it's extremely difficult because the whole process is all geared to the whole aging facet, really, in a sense of even how you set up your financial monetary system. Even, of course, the fact that that is at present in disarray. It's only in disarray because the point of fact has been that if you have a contracting climate of people, then perhaps that there are fewer people now than there were 10 years ago or something like that. Of course, there aren't, but for some races, that's most certainly the case. And so if you are a part of a tribe that is gradually contracting or part of a country or something like that where the numbers are declining, perhaps it is maybe that you have a difference in the parity between people who are, shall we say, over 50 and those who are under 50. That means to say then that people who are under 50 are actually paying out more or having to support more of the energy of those who were over 50. The problem is the inherent system and structure is based purely upon there being multiple life. That means that life is going to continue to become more and more exaggerated, become more and more human beings in order to support it. Otherwise, it'll simply cave in. Because of the fact that that's a part of the structure that hasn't been interpreted within the starting gate of what was created, you then have an inherent structure of failure. That's part of the problem. And is something, in fact, that people are going to really struggle with, I can see that, for many, many generations.
Okay.
It's almost as though humanity has to keep exploding in order to support itself, because the inherent structure within it is doomed to fail if it doesn't.
Okay, so when basically our being in charge of how we look, I think it can be one of, well, to a certain extent, apart from the aging process, one of the things that we try to take control of and that we can be in charge of, if you know what I mean, to a certain extent.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it makes us feel good, and that's fine. Obviously, we're not saying that about, aging gracefully is really all about looking after your body as a temple, isn't it? Mind, body, and spirit as a whole.
Yes, absolutely so. And that, of course, actually begins purely and simply even with the way that you eat food, not necessarily just what you eat.
Carry on.
Well, I'm saying, for example, if you swallow food almost whole, you are actually going to rely more heavily upon your physical body system in actual fact to manipulate it, to abstract certain qualities within that food group to actually do you any good. So it means that more of it will actually pass through your body system without actually being properly unified within the blood cell structure, maybe even cell sugars or something like that. To be abstracted will oftentimes be missed. as well as valuable mineral salts available within the food substance, which you badly possibly need as a physical being. All of these systems then can actually lead to perhaps failure of the tissues to regenerate itself in a proper way, but actually rather adding bulk or perhaps even adding toxins to your physical body system, purely and simply because you haven't actually organically reconstructed that food and abstracted all that you can out of it. So purely and simply by eating quickly, for example, means that you fail to materialize all of the energy within the food that you've eaten. Oftentimes it can be also that people forget to regulate the actual bacteria systems within their physical body state in any event. This all begins with the breakdown of molecular structure of food at the point that you put it in your mouth, not at the point of when it reaches your gut. So it means to say then that all of the chewing isn't just the part of what activity is created. It's actually to do with the saliva that you coat around the food. I know it's a bit messy, but
interesting. I've got certain friends that chew. They eat very and chew very slowly.
Yes.
And they're very slim.
And they'll be as thin as rakes.
They are.
Absolutely so. Always will be the case.
That's very interesting. You see, it's funny, isn't it? We're talking about all the putting, plastic surgery and all the rest of it. And yet, it's just a simple thing on how we eat.
Yes. So if you have a person who is very large, the first thing you need to do is to show them how to eat properly.
Slow down. Chew longer, slower.
Chew your food. Yes. Absolutely so. And this actually is the same for many other things. You see, part of the problem of aging and the whole process of aging is actually because you cannot wait for things. So therefore, what then happens is that you're overextending the elasticity of your skin and of your vibrancy because you cannot wait for everything else in your life to catch up with you. That doesn't mean to say that you sit around waiting for the demise of one functioning organ after another or anything like that. I'm not suggesting it. But what I am suggesting is that by utilizing all of the energy that comes within and without the body system, means to say that as you concentrate upon one situation substance of your energy, you are not denying everything else. You're just really actually allowing everything to become at a slower pace. This means then that everything will be fulfilled more definitely, used more wholly. Otherwise, things like cell structure or food and that kind of thing won't be missed, won't just move straight through the body system and out the other end, but will actually be properly broken down and reconstituted using all of the origins of energy and different forms of mineral and chemical which are abstracted out of that food so that you really do create the real benefit from it, from having consumed it.
But beauty really does start from within then, doesn't it?
It really
what
does, yes.
What you consume as in, well, in so many ways and also with meditation, basically.
Yes, because in actual fact, friend, one could think that thoughts are also being living things that you consume, thoughts that you create, thoughts that you action upon the physical body state, are all a part of the conditioning that your skin will then relate to. Because thoughts are living things, it means that when you think of things which are unpleasant, then you wrinkle yourself, don't you?
Mm.
You recoil back from it. You actually feel negative toward it, which then creates negativity within the skin you're in.
No, that's a whole different thing, yeah.
Yes, and really a whole set of energy that we should really communicate with.
Absolutely, we will do that.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Gregory.
Absolutely, with love and light, blessings be upon your pathways, everyone. God bless.
I hope you've enjoyed the show. A little shorter today because we had technical problems at the beginning, but nevertheless, we did have fun, and I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. And, well, we'd just like to say that, we are here again next Monday at 7 p.m. So do join us again. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.